So what's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Jesus is the king of the universe. I didn't realize what a kind of a shocking thing that is for most Americans. To the title king is something we're just not used to. Recently, Barack Obama did something that went over into and out of his field, they began to call him imperial, the king, you know, and because our government is so balanced that no one man, the executive branch, is balanced off by the legislative branch. And those in Congress and the Senate were really upset that he took into his hands what they said was something only the lawmakers could do. Our government is so set up that the Supreme Court makes the judgments. The president is the executive branch. He does the action in the country. We need someone to do that. But then we need someone to make the laws. And one balances out the other. But with Jesus, he is the lawmaker. He is the Lord. He is the one who judges. And he is the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth, has been given to me. Jesus is the king. And tomorrow we're going to celebrate his kingship. And today, the world is being taught about that kingship, that I am the Lord of the living and the dead. And the readings are so powerful. So many people in our day don't recognize he has power over death. I remember once as a young priest, this man was a multi-millionaire. And even in that time, he was very, very wealthy. And he loved his wife very much. And I was in the parish. And I went, and I was just kind of used to someone who would be with his wife at a wake. And I remember I went to his home, and there he was waking, and several people would come to that and offering their condolences, but he wouldn't let go of her body. A week. And finally, after weeks, the undertaker came and said, "Could you go and see this man?" He didn't understand the death, really. His wife was that woman in that box, and she was dead. And how hard it is, and how hard it was for him. He wanted to hang on to her body. I know people that they have their loved ones cremated, and they won't bury the body. They want it right in their room with them. Whatever that is, that attachment to the corpse. Well, today, Jesus is teaching us through his teaching. The book of Revelation has really been given to us by John. Why? Because the church was suffering so much that they were really enduring so much hardship. That the suffering that they were undergoing, people were dying and dying and dying. In the early church, they were just being killed. And John wrote the Apocalypse, which is the last book of the Bible, to show that Jesus is the Lord of the dead. And today's reading is in the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation, or what was called the Apocalypse. Let me begin with the third verse. I will commission my two witnesses to prophesy for those 1,200 and 60 days wearing sackcloth. They're going through a terrible time in the early church. And so John is teaching us through this book of what used to be called the Apocalypse and the book of Revelation. It's the last book of the Bible. He's an old man, and he's now, you know, all the other apostles are dead. They've been killed, and it looks like the Church of Jesus Christ has been decimated. These are the two olive trees and two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. Jesus is the King. If anyone wants to harm them, fire comes out of their mouths and devours the enemies in this way. Anyone wanting to harm them is sure to be slain. They have the power to close up the sky so that no rain will fall upon the earth while they are prophesying. They also have power to turn water into blood and to afflict the earth with any plague as often as they want. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up from the abyss will wage war against them and conquer them and kill them. Who is this? The devil. Their corpses will lie in the main street on the great city, which has the symbolic names Sodom and Egypt, when indeed their Lord was where indeed their Lord was crucified. Those from every people, tribe, tongue, and nation will gaze on their corpses for 3.5 days, and they will not allow their corpses to be buried. The inhabitants of the earth will gloat over them and be glad and exchange gifts because these two prophets tormented and the inhabitants of the earth. But after the 3.5 days, a breath of life will come and enter into them when they stood up on their feet. Great fear fell on those who saw them. Then they heard a loud voice from heaven say, "Come up here." See? So they went up into the heavens in a cloud as the enemies looked on. After 3.5 days, Jesus died and rose. These who were killed, those who were slain, are going to go up to heaven. John is prophesying. John is telling the Christians, even though you get killed, look at the events of our own day. You know, ISIS is here. Jim Foley gets his head cut off. 80 Iraqis get their heads cut off. Yesterday I heard in Libya, ISIS had overtaken a town of 100,000, and they start butchering right in their stadium. What is happening to the corpses? Are these the dead? You can't kill Jesus. Jesus is the King. And so he also teaches in his gospel, I am the Lord of heaven and earth. I am the King. When you die, the life of God after you die, Jesus is teaching these Pharisees who try to trap him, because the Jews did not have a belief in an afterlife. Actually, it wasn't very clear of all the prophets, you know, he alone is teaching us, you will suffer, you will die, as I did, and you will have a resurrection. Why? The only one who ever rose from the dead is Jesus. Now they're coming to test him on this teaching, and this is the last teaching today on this Feast of St. Cecilia before the Feast of the Kingship of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the King of the living. And so we read in the 20th chapter, and the closing days of Jesus' life is coming to an end. He's going to begin his passion soon. They are testing him on the resurrection. Some Sadducees, those who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us that someone whose brother dies, leaving a wife, but no children, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first married a woman, but died childless. Then the second, and a third. And likewise, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman died. Now, at the resurrection, whose wife would she be? For all seven had her as their husband. Jesus said to them, the children of the age here marry and are given in marriage, but those who are deemed worthy to attain to the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They can no longer die, for they are like angels, and they are the children of God, because they are the ones who will rise. That is why the dead who are risen, even Moses, knew that in the passage about the burning bush, when he called the Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And he is not God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. Some of the scribes said to Jesus in reply, Teacher, you have answered well. And they no longer asked him any more questions. When Jesus died on the cross, he suffered death. When he rose from the dead, he was raised from the dead. That body that Jesus had, that human body, perfectly human, perfectly just like ours, died. He, because he was the Son of God, raised from the dead, the resurrection of the dead after the 3 days. He was laying in the tomb and he rose from the dead. That's what we celebrate as Easter. That body that he took from Mary is in heaven at the right hand of God. Now, does God have a hand? The invisible Father. But there he is, equal to God. His kingship is union with his Father. As the Father and I are one, now he wants to make us one. And we become one by the power of the Holy Spirit. When the water came forth from his side, That water flows on us. As we are being poured upon in our baptism, we are being joined to Jesus Christ. Out of his side, just like out of the side of Adam came Eve, out of the side of Christ came the church, his spouse. As Eve was the first woman and Adam, Jesus is the first of the living and the dead. He is the firstborn. He has gone into heaven. In heaven, there wasn't any human being. Heaven couldn't be open because it was closed. The only way to get to heaven was through a perfect person. It was the second person of the Trinity. We have been divinized, incorporated, one with him, so that when Jim Foley gets his head cut off, as a child of God, his corpse, whatever they did with his corpse, and whatever they're doing with those corpses in Iraq, in Syria, whenever this ISIS, you can't kill Jesus. Now, what is the most important, what do we care for the most as we come to the kingship of Jesus Christ? Union with him. That's the life of grace. What is the most important teaching today on this feast of Saint Cecilia, who is the patroness of musicians? What do we have to sing about? Glory to God in the highest, in song, and glory and praise, because we are one with him. And in our suffering and in our dying, we are rising. We are one with him. The tragedy is that what about these people of the earth that are standing around that John and gloating over that these people are dying? Well, you see, they're the earth people. The people who, if they don't become united with this Jesus, he is the only Savior, King of the universe, not King of the United States, not King of Africa, not King of the Middle East, King of the universe. Jesus is the King of not only all of mankind, he's King of the universe. He stands outside of all of creation. And he who is the Son of God has joined me and you to him. We have the glory of God within us. Jim Foley and his suffering and his dying. He is one of like, when I think of the ISIS and the modern persecution that's going on in the church, I can't help but think of the tragedy of those who are standing around, and through television, we see this. You know that teaching of John, the people of the earth saw this happen, and they look on, stupefied. And if you're an extremist, and you really are glad that these people are dying, woe to you, woe to you. As they exchange gifts, as they see Christians dying again in this world. And it is true that there are some people who, you know, I really believe that it's not only the ISIS that are glad the Christians are dying, but I really believe that there are many more. I don't hear a lot of Muslims. They're just standing around. And they're the people of that reading from Revelations. They're watching the corpses that are lying there. And John is saying, come up here. You are united with Jesus. And he died, and he was laying there as a corpse. And he is the source of all life and the living. Union with him is life in this world.
Monsignor?
Yes.
It's so shocking, I think, when we do in this modern time, we see those deaths occur around us, especially for the faith, and yet we don't speak up. But we also see that kind of suffering around us that is happening when people make sacrifices in their homes or in their communities. It's the, even in the standing as a witness for Christ and watching people lose jobs or lose friendships, it's in that suffering, isn't it? I mean, those types of martyrdoms, and we say nothing. We don't even recognize them or know how to respond to those who suffer that.
I think your question is so important for all who are listening. Every one of us is called to suffer when you suffer with him. Supposing you're falsely accused, what was Jesus? Jesus is about to suffer and to die. In you, because we are all joined to him, what do you do when someone brings a false accusation against you? You and Christ are one. Are you united with him in the way you respond to the false accusation? You see, Jesus stood before Pilate and was condemned. And he said, I have come to tell the truth. And Pilate there, and what happened there? I find no guilt in him. There's nothing that this man has done to deserve death. And yet he's been accused of all kinds of things. He's accused of going against Caesar. He never taught that. He's accused. And so what have you been falsely accused of? Supposing you're 10 years old, and yesterday the teacher said that your homework wasn't your own, and it really was. Do you know how you feel when someone says that? That's what Chris is talking about there. You have a suffering in you. And you can unite that with Jesus. Because what did he do when he was falsely accused? He forgave. Have you been betrayed? Is someone have really done something terrible to you because of money? Maybe even sold you out in your business or did something terrible to you, and you have felt betrayed. Are you a woman who married this man and he promised you that he would be faithful to you, and you just discovered that he betrayed your trust? Do you know that pain? That's betrayal. That's what Jesus felt, especially when it was done with a kiss. Judas, do you betray the Son of Man with a kiss? And for 30 pieces of silver? The power of your suffering united with his, because only God alone knows what has pierced your heart with pain. Do you know what it's like when Jesus was stripped of his garments to stand naked? Because actually, when you look at your crucifix, we have a loincloth on Jesus, but they wanted to shame him, the detestable shaming that they wanted to give him, to have crucifixion as what he was going to be put through. And he stood before the eyes of those who stripped him. Have you been stripped and people are gloating over you and your shame as you stood before them? you made a mistake or whatever, and everybody now knows it. Unite that suffering with Jesus. Every one of us has a cross to bear. He tells us that. The suffering and the dying. When I learn to unite all my sufferings with Jesus, I'm going to be able to unite if I'm told, "Will you give up Jesus as your king, or I'm going to cut your head off?" You'll say, "Go ahead," because I have been uniting my sufferings on a daily basis with Jesus Christ. Every day that I live, I can unite my little sufferings and my great sufferings with Jesus Christ. The reward is this, and this is the most important teaching, to declare Jesus as the head of your home, the head of your heart, the head of your family, and the head of your business, and the head of whatever you're going to do. You are the Lord. You are the King.
It's also interesting, isn't it, Monsignor, that during this particular time of our recalling Christ as King, that we have these feasts which focus around martyrs. Today is Saint Cecilia, lived in the first millennium of our faith, and Blessed Miguel Pro, Vivo Cristo Rey, who spread out his arms like Christ when they shot him, and so many more over the days to come.
And that I can actually, that all of us, you see the word martyr, where what he gives the name, I'll give two witnesses. A witness is the name of the witness is in Greek is martyr. And so the martyrs or the witness that you can also be, not only Saint Cecilia and Miguel Pro, but also you and me. We can witness to Jesus Christ. Do can you you can ask yourself this as you prepare for Mass tomorrow and the feast of Christ the King. Do people know Jesus because of the way I live? Do I reflect Jesus as the mother of my family? Do I reflect Jesus as a husband? Do I reflect Jesus as a student in school? Do I reflect Jesus to my parish? Do I reflect Jesus to my diocese? This is really who I am. My identity is that I am Christ in this world and will be Christ in the world to come. That my identity, who I am, is Christ. And I witness to him in this world so that those corpses even lying in the on the ground are really witnesses to Jesus Christ. Come up here. And these corpses became full of life and they went up before God. Miguel Pro did it. Saint Cecilia did it. And you and I can do it, even while we're here on earth.
Final thought, Monsignor?
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Jesus is our King. Hail to our King. Hail to Jesus Christ. Long live the King. God bless.